I'm Katie Misouris, a senior security strategist with Microsoft. I am here with David Lindsay, a security engineer from Security Innovations, a U.S.-based company. Also here with Eduardo Villanava, an independent security researcher from Mexico, and with Gareth Hayes, an independent security researcher from the U.K. And they have all come to join us here at Blue Hat. Thanks for joining us, guys. And what is it that you're going to be talking about tomorrow?
Well, we are going to talk about cascading style sheets, and they're used in security mostly, CSS and stuff like that.
So one of the focuses that we wanted to look at was with cascading style sheets, the sorts of things that could be done in the browser without JavaScript. So it's kind of attacking with one hand behind your back, so to speak.
Yeah, sort of escalating the vulnerability of just purely hacking history into something else. So there's a similarity between cross-site scripting and CSS.
So what are some of the biggest attack vectors that you found using these techniques?
Well, the three are, well, the one that has the most media attention was the clickjacking.
Do you want to describe that, Gareth, a little bit?
Yeah. Clickjacking works by overlaying iframes, but there could be different elements other than iframes as well. And the idea is to basically hide the element, the site that you're on, and then fooling the user into clicking that link, even though they don't know what the site is underneath. It's social engineering with CSS, and that can be dangerous because even though a site includes a form token within the site itself, that is no protection because clicking on the link will send the form token as well.
So are there some mitigations that you guys have been investigating that might be applicable? Because I know that this affects multiple browsers. You know, there's no real solid fix that's out there right now. What are some of the mitigations that you've been looking into?
Well, there's been discussion on various mailing lists about using iframe headers, and I've been working with David Ross on frame breaking stuff and how to break that. Eduardo as well has been giving David feedback on an idea that he had with hiding the content of the page depending if no script was available at the time, because that you can do iframe restricted when you you put iframe and then the restricted attributes in there, and that disables JavaScript. So David's idea was David Ross's idea was to disable the actual visibility of the iframe if JavaScript was disabled, which was one of the possible mitigations that it can do.
So in terms of some of the mitigations that we're looking at, none of these are really easy to implement, am I correct? Or they have some kind of down-level application compatibility issues that might stand in the way of fully implementing some of these mitigation measures, is that right?
Well, it's down to the browser flaws, basically. For example, in IE8, there's a flaw which you cannot specify a frame breaker correctly because it opens a new window. So the easy way to exploit it would be to focus the parent window that's just opened. So it doesn't provide any protection against the clickjacking attack itself. But if all the browsers agree on a certain standard to make sure that we can't iframe this site, if it doesn't want to be iframed, then that would solve the problem.
Yeah, but all websites will continue to be vulnerable until they decide to fix it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it is a fundamental issue with the browsers. So yeah, there is going to be no easy solution, and we're right now just in the process of working out some of those possible mitigations, seeing if they really hold out to scrutiny and go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we are attacking the standards. That's the reason they are cross-browser all the attacks, because we are not attacking a single browser. We are just describing attacks that are going to be possible in all browsers that implement the standard correctly. The same with the HTML attribute reader that expands the scope of cross-site scripting more than JavaScript. Mm-hmm. You can now make attacks in CSS only. There's also the history attacks that works everywhere also because they are the standard.
With the attribute reading attack that we are going to be discussing, that's one of the ones that I find really interesting because it's not some new fancy part of the specifications for cascading style sheets. It's one of the main primary features that it deals with what can be shown and what can't be. So it's really, I think, neat in that it shows that there's things can be done with cascading style sheets that are very similar to cross-site scripting and can be used in similar situations as cross-site scripting to have the same kind of net effect as cross-site scripting, but all done without JavaScript.
Mm-hmm. Cross-site styling.
Cross-site styling, yeah.
So this is a very interesting point. You're actually looking at attacks that apply to a correctly implemented standard, right?
Yeah.
So this is a, you know, this is a, you know, even a step above a design level issue for an individual browser. This is actually a design level issue for a standard.
Yeah.
So that actually makes it quite complex. Are there things that you can think of to help influence the standards as they're being created? To try and head off some of these types of vulnerabilities down the line. Obviously, we're dealing with the standards that we're dealing with now, but in the future, do you think there's some things that you can suggest that will help prevent these issues in the future?
Well, the only way will be reducing the standards a lot. That was that what Garrett said, that style designers are going to be very mad because they are being restricted in functionality. And
I think it's important that those that have a good understanding of the security implications of some of the new features that are going to the standards, like HTML5, that those people are vocal about the security issues, because it's hard sometimes for security researchers like us to necessarily be given to have our voices heard, so to say. But people, like for example, from Microsoft that have the security knowledge that are on the working groups can probably have a lot more sway.
I think it's always going to be possible to attack standards because it's a fixed set of rules. Mm-hmm. So as an attacker, you can either follow those fixed set of rules or break out of those rules. And let the only way to protect against that is to implement something in the standard that stops that. Mm-hmm. I think what we're lacking at the moment is any sort of working model for standards. So we've got a website that lists what standards are available. But there's no beta, there's no testing involved. Mm-hmm. Like when you get Internet Explorer releases a new browser, we can test it, but we really need a standards separate demo that actually renders the actual results so that security researchers can find the problems before they're actually released as a standard.
So you're proposing essentially a beta for standards where you actually get to test against real implementations against not fully realized standard or fully finalized standard. Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. One of the purposes, you know, of having the Blue Hat Conference is to bring security researchers like you into, you know, Microsoft to talk to the developers and talk to the executives and really raise the awareness of issues. So hopefully in your meetings that are scheduled here at Microsoft and, you know, in the actual sessions themselves, you'll be able to get that kind of exposure and be able to raise the level of awareness with these issues. You keep mentioning earlier that you've been working with David Ross. Just to clarify for the audience, David Ross is one of our internal rock stars in terms of IE security. We've got many, but he's just one of them. So
just giving
a little context there.
Dave is a top guy. I've worked with him for quite a while now.
Right. So in terms of the rest of your talk, do you go into future work or anything else that's on the horizon for you that you haven't quite had time to explore?
There's a few things in terms of future work that we think we'd like to flesh out. One would be in terms of scanning an intranet for different routers and devices. There's probably some work we can do there to better fingerprint websites other than just detecting IP addresses. So that's one thing we discussed as something that can be furthered. I think there's a lot to explore also with the attribute reading.
Yeah.
So there's another area.
I think the demo that Eduardo did, the real-time history, is really key because you could enter a website on a forum and then it would crawl the forum and then find all the links for that. I think that sort of thing shouldn't be possible. And I think the reason it is possible is that when the standards have been developed, they've thought, nobody's going to think of ways to do this. And we obviously just sat together and thought, yeah, well, why not try this?
So are there any final thoughts that you want to leave with the audience?
A lot of the things that we've been discussing can be accomplished with JavaScript. So in that sense, I mean, you could argue that there's not a lot new, but one of the emphases that we're trying to make is that that even without JavaScript, if somebody chooses to not have JavaScript for security reasons or whatever, that they still can be vulnerable. And so in that light, cascading style sheets should be treated as a potential malicious vector that can be used to inject malicious content onto web pages. And so in that sense, should be treated with a dose of skepticism and security awareness around it, just like you would with JavaScript.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because most of the defenses against cross-site scripting just detect if it can execute JavaScript in some way, you know, event handlers, script tags, remote style sheets, even with expression vectors on IE, it will be a lot more difficult to detect just CSS, because a lot of websites depend on the ability of a user of style their own web page, like, I don't know, social websites, MySpace, Facebook, I don't know, Hi5, etc. So it's important for them to know at least that there are some selectors, at least some selectors, dangerous for them.
It's just changing perspective and just making sure that the standards that are implemented are secure. And that's the message that we want to get across. Using things in ways that wasn't expected, and taking account for that by adding more standards that add security.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm really looking forward to seeing your talk tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks.